Annette Andre, ace actress and top correspondent, now live on the Midweek Drive.
Yes, absolutely, in every sense of the word. And indeed, as Ed Wellman, our wonderful deputy station manager, pointed out when he was taking a group of media production students to the wonderful place called the Lincoln Theatre Royal, they still treasure the appearance of Annette Andre there back in 1987. 1987.
Oh, oh
dear!
My goodness.
Who would have thought, Annette, that you know that you'd be connecting together with the very city that you performed in on stage at Lincoln Theatre Royal back in the last century, and now you're in Los Angeles. Well, actually, you're in California, but you will be back in Britain before too long. Now, you're chronologically gifted.
Sorry, say again.
You're chronologically gifted or experientially enhanced. We do not use the O word here. You were just about to say it there, and I had to stop you straight away. We don't use the O word as far as the Midweek Drive is concerned. Are you still there, Annette?
Oh, what's the O word?
The O.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, no, we are chronologically gifted or experientially enhanced.
Oh, no. I tell you what's been happening. The phone has just been cutting out very slightly, and I didn't get everything you said, but I think it's settled down now.
Well, thankfully, that's the important thing, because how else can we actually go into the latest Annette Andre audio missive, which does tie in with Marvin Hamlisch's version of Scott Joplin's theme to The Sting? Over to you, Annette.
It does indeed. It does, absolutely. Shall I take it from here?
I think so. We'll do the introductions after we've done the official letter, because we've got six souls in the studio.
Oh, you want to do them first?
Well, okay. Let's do. I think you've actually managed to meet most of them, apart from Fiona Williams, of course, who's a relative newbie, public relations student, undergraduate, level one at the University of Lincoln, born in Missouri. Yeah, Missouri. Enjoyed the conversation with your husband last week. That was Arthur Weingarten. Very good.
Right.
And now living in Edinburgh. So that's Fiona Williams. You can say hello, Fiona.
Hello.
Tessa.
Hello, how are you?
Yep.
She's
I'm fine, thank you. Yes, yourself?
Tessa Snart, based in Peterborough, born in Peterborough, and judged annually at Peterborough first. Were you actually born in Peterborough? Or have you moved there?
Yeah.
Born and bred in Peterborough. Excellent. Yes. Celebrate.
Born and bred, yeah.
Peterboroughness is wonderful. The Surrey legend, of course, who is Emma Tenson.
Hello, how are you, Annette?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
I'm enjoying the sunshine and the warm weather.
Oh, lovely. Oh,
it's minus 2 degrees overnight as far as Lincoln's concerned. That's okay. We don't mind. It's coming up to 6 o'clock, so great news there. Mary Dancy.
Hello, Annette. Hi.
There we are. Happy from Mary.
Hello.
Mary's relatively new to the evening slots because normally she does the breakfast time slots, but she does them both now, which is fantastic. Oh. So there we are.
Okay, well, welcome.
Claire Margerison, of course.
Hello.
And Emily Jones.
Hello.
There we are. Not in alphabetical or any order whatsoever, basically. But
hello,
that's
Emily.
It. We've managed to sort the way through there. Yes, it's okay. Emily didn't have a set of headphones on, so she couldn't. I was just talking. Honestly, it's getting like one of those strange avant-garde postmodern plays here, Annette. So I'll hand over to you and and take the letter for this month away, please.
Okay. It's called "Take Me, I'm Yours." Mm-hmm. Now, I watched The Sting on TV last week for the zillionth time. It's not that I like the movie so much, it's that I just adore it. If you haven't seen this Paul Newman, Robert Redford classic, well, that's your monumental loss. For those who have, I'll just quickly recap the plot to refresh memory. The boys, impossibly gorgeous, are con men. Newman, legendary grifter, and Redford, his pupil, are out to revenge the brutal murder of a colleague who had the terminal misfortune to swipe a big-time bookie's boodle. Played out to a toe-tapping score of Scott Joplin's intoxicating ragtime, the story centers on the con men setting a snare.
From the Sky News Center at 6.
Hello?
Yes, it's okay. We had a slight insertion there from the Sky News people. Don't worry. Carry on, Annette. The computers carry on. It's our own version of the sting.
The story centres on the con men setting a snare, not to orchestrate a revenge killing of the bookie, but to hit him where it would hurt the most, his pride. And with the loss of that, his ultimate downfall is assured in a world where worth is measured in the power that money and fear can buy. The sting that the con men pull off is brilliantly filmed, but like all works of art, it leaps its original intent and invades into the larger world. In this case, with a stunning effect that just might have been its creator's goal to begin with. Newman and Redford set up a phony horse betting parlor and lure the bookie into their trap by letting him win a few times on fixed races before making the ultimate sting. Of course, it's the bookie's greed and sense of entitlement that suckers his better judgment and leads him willingly into the lion's den. What does that remind you of? Oh, I can see Alex searching for his stopwatch, so I'll cut to the chase and agree with you. It's Murdoch's bread and butter. Someone's always taking someone. It's called life. In fact, there's been a con working since the beginning of recorded history. Well, take the story of Moses, for example. He's regarded as the savior of his people, leading them out of slavery in Egypt. When it came time to divvy up the chores on that monumental trek, Moses heroically volunteered to carry the heaviest load, the food for the entire outfit. Wow, you are amazed. What a stand-up guy. But hang on. After day one, the load got lighter, and the next day, lighter still until... but you get the picture. A Madoff in reverse. From politicians who do all but flog snake oil from the tailgates of their buses, or 747s in Trump's case, to the villainous Jimmy Savile who trade on the public's addiction to celebrity, the world has always made room for the con man who palms the truth in front of your eyes while plucking the gold from your teeth. It seems that every generation gets the con man it deserves. In this era of unbridled financial piracy, Bernie Madoff hoovered billions of dollars from investors, all of whom suddenly developed attention deficit syndrome while raking in three times the going interest rate. But when it comes to crowning the emperor of all confidence men, Joseph Wheel takes the purple. Dubbed the Yellow Kid by the 19th Century Press for his immaculately tailored cream-colored suits, the kid targeted only the rich and powerful robber barons, men like Vanderbilt, Carnegie, and Morgan. Armed with forged documents and a magician's golden tongue, he took them for fortunes. And then, incredibly, even after realizing they'd been had, they all came back for second helpings. So why is it that I can never get enough of the sting? The answer is simply that it's about what I and my band of merrymakers have been doing for aeons. It's called acting. But let's face it, that's just pasteurizing who we really are. Nothing more or less than imposters. Starting at age 6, when I appeared on stage at the Theatre Royal Sydney, singing and dancing to the tune of Oh, You Beautiful Doll, I've played hundreds of characters, from the wife of a ghost to a virgin concubine. Ooh. Now there's a stretch. On stage, in films, and on TV, I and my comrades rise from the pages of a script, climb in and out costumes and history, to become anyone but who we are in what others call real life. Madoff and the kid were tossed into the slammer for doing what essentially some of us are paid for now and then and get invited to guest on talk shows to blow our own horns. It's a thin line. So the next time you're offered a deal that seems too good to be true, I strongly advise you to follow my lead and get irrefutable, rock-solid written proof as I've recently done. Just 2 more payments, and I'll be the proud, certified owner of the Eiffel Tower. That's it.
Nice. I like that. And hopefully you sort of open it up to the Parisians to still use it in all sorts of ways. Or maybe you want to ship it over, step around, stand, over to the States. apparently, Weil himself claimed in his biography that he was called the Yellow Kid because he was prone to wear yellow chamois gloves, yellow vests, yellow spats, and also had a yellow beard. He claimed that was all untrue,
that's
never
right.
affected such wearing apparel, and had no beard. But there, he died when he was 100, on February 26th, 1976. So there we are. So he sort of passed away from that.
What, he died then, did he? I didn't know that.
Died in Chicago, Illinois, born July the 1st, 1875. A bit of information.
Gosh.
And of course we can still see that manifested in, we were talking about the fourth wall and breaking the fourth wall. The TV series I was looking to go to was Hustle, where Hustle, right? Have you ever seen Hustle with Robert Vaughn? And
No,
I haven't seen Hustle.
Yeah, I don't remember it very
well. It's worth accessing 8 seasons of 6 shows in each season. That's 48 episodes, and it's one of Robert Vaughan's finest works, actually. Recently, but anyway.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sure Arthur knows it, so I'll have to look at that.
Worthwhile using those devices known as the Netflix and other such providers to access Hustle. You'll find it on the system.
Absolutely.
But you're absolutely right.
Netflix is highly overworked.
The other classic line, of course, is fake it till you make it. But, Emma, thoughts on Annette's perceptive as ever comments on how actually, maybe Moses to the Yellow Kid to our current sort of world. I mean,
Madoff.
Even Fiona Williams actually turned around and said, Robert Redford, he's a cute bit. Now, in fact, it was Emily who said he was in Captain America. He was indeed in Captain America. It was awesome. Anyway,
yeah,
Emma.
I found that really interesting, but me and Tessa were just saying how much of a wonderful voice you have, Annette. Like, it's obviously
fluent.
You've got that talented acting training in there, but Tessa was saying, "Oh, is this a pre-recorded thing?"
Yeah.
She's speaking beautifully
until obviously the news cut in and then
it's wrong time. Exactly,
it's impressive.
It's effortless. In fact, it was six.
Well, when I was very young, I lived in Australia, so I should have the Australian twang, but I don't. my mother, sort of, I don't know how she did it, but she said to me, I want you to speak properly. And she sent me off to elocution lessons at a very early age. And I actually got a state medal at one point. I think I've still got it. How about that? I know.
And she didn't con the judges either. That's the important thing. It's all down to rehearsal.
No. But, I think so. And then, of course, with all the acting, when I left Australia and came to England, I had to make sure very quickly that I didn't speak with any Australian accent, because in those days, when I came over, accents were not highly tolerated. Even Northern England and Lancashire and everything, they weren't. People used to come down and speak what they called the King's English. Mm. So, when I was told one day at a party, someone said to me, "Oh, I say, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm an actress." "Oh, I see. And where do you come from?" And I said, I'm coming from..." This was very early on when I arrived in England. I said, "I've come from Australia." "Oh," he said, "you come from the colonies." So I instantly ran home and started doing my elocution lessons again.
And that's
so,
just,
yes.
Just,
but
just,
thank you very much for that.
That's just part of the rich tapestry of life, etc. Mary, any thoughts from yourself?
I really liked your section when you were speaking on like acting and how like it's all like almost conish in a way that is kind of all impostering, but like I think it's such a
actually is. I mean, you're conning the audience, you're telling them something that is absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because you're playing someone, even if you're playing someone else, you're not that person, you're playing someone else, but you make them believe.
Are you saying, Annette,
that it's them?
That when you were actually as Jeannie, the secretary, in Randall and Hopkirk Deceased, that wasn't a live drama documentary we were watching?
Oh, no, that was quite different.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that was really true.
Yes,
I'm
pleased you said that, because, I mean, my entire sort of life would have just gone completely wrong at that point of view. I've done for all sorts of things. Tessa, any thoughts?
Yeah, Kenny was always in the way. I just didn't know it. Yeah. I kept tripping over things.
Exactly.
I had no idea it
exactly.
was, you know.
Yeah, very
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Tessa.
Well, and then when I saw Mike talking to himself, yeah, that was a big problem. I wanted to haul him off to the psychiatrist. You know, I said, listen, we'll have to do something.
I thought we were having a poltergeist in the studio earlier. Apparently it was just Claire just scratching the desk. I don't know.
Such a troublemaker. I
really am.
Prone to work on that basis. Sorry, Tessa, you were going to say.
I was just going to say again about her voice and whether she had any, say, lessons when she was younger. And
technique works wonderfully.
Yes, it is, it's brilliant.
So we're approaching the time, Annette, where hopefully you'll be returning to the Siren Studios, or at least coming over to Britain again and hopefully visiting us in Lincoln once again. Is that not the case?
I hope so.
Yes.
I hope so. Let's talk. I'm coming over at the end of this month and I'll be there till the end of May.
Well, are we talking the end of February or the end of March?
Oh, no, end of March.
End of March, that's it. So another letter from America.
Oh, I forget. We're still in February, aren't we?
We are still in...
The sun's shining here, I keep thinking.
I know, Annette, you've got Super Tuesday next week coming through. All of those elections when Donald Trump gets a couple of stages further to actually keeping out the Muslims, building a wall across Mexico, and basically creating a kind of world in America that, frankly, I wouldn't want to even visit, let alone live in. But still, never mind. That's by the by.
My heart... I mean, we sit here and we keep turning off the television because they say, I walk out of the room. I can't watch this. we won't get onto the subject of that because I'm ready to sort of...
I know. And we know the CIA like to listen to this show, so we would not want you to actually sort of be hauled under the House Un-American Committee from that point of view. It's
you
okay.
know exactly, not know exactly yeah. what I really want
I,
to do.
Exactly. study in it, you know. It's all fire on the whole thing. Although you could actually get Simon Templer involved, because as we all know, if Randall Hopkirk had been fictional, then at least all the times you spent with the saint, you know, that was definitely real and realistic.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
then.
So
let's move on. Claire. We've had one of those wonderful Norman Collier sort of things here, with things bursting into all sorts of things. But as ever, Annette, showing that grace under pressure, you've docked us nicely round to 12 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock in Britain, which allows Claire to throw those last two questions at you. Off you go, Claire.
Have you had a good telephonic bink with us today, Annette?
Oh, yes, I have. I always enjoy it. It's wonderful.
Good, I'm glad. And will you be joining us again soon?
I hope so.
Yes.
I'm not sure about... We'll have to coordinate.
We'll consult the great abacus and calendar coordinator and sort our way through that to get much.
The abacus sounds good. That's about my speed.
I always like Cuisinart rods personally, but they seem to have gone out of flavour. But still, never mind. Or indeed, flavour as well. Anyway, we introduced you, of course, with the official Marvin Hamlisch orchestral version of Scott Joplin's Entertainer. I think we'll actually go around to the next segment, which of course features one of the singers from Musical Youth, Trevor T, with Scott Joplin himself, ragtime material in every sense of the word. Don't worry, Katie Grimason, we haven't forgotten your musical choice. Okay, so it's all right. Katie, who sends her best to you, Annette. She's in Birmingham these days. Lord help us, somebody has to be.
Thank you.
I know, exactly. But you know, we'll have a treat coming up in a matter of moments, probably after Scott Joplin. So often on Midweek Drive, we get recommendations from various sources. And Teresa, of course, who looks after a whole range of PA material for Andrew David, well, knows he needs much help as he can get these days, revealed recently that one of the top entertainers that you could ever sort of encounter in every sense of the word, is literally the ultimate entertainer. And when she actually added he actually used to be in musical youth as well, we said, we have to feature this gentleman as soon as possible. And so we say those immortal words, Trevor T, welcome to the Midweek Drive. How are you, sir?
Hello. Hi, thank you. I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right.
Excellent.
Bit of a wedding at the moment, but it's all right.
They'll cope. Can you just tell the vicar or the priest who's actually hosting it just to set hold fire? Because it's not your wedding by any chance, is it?
No, it's not mine. I'm actually sitting in an actual venue called The Thorns, which is a lovely restaurant venue in Briley Hill.
Oh.
So I'm just there at the moment. So, yeah.
And does this mean that you are the wedding singer, Trevor? Or is this something...
Well, I do the compere, the actual toastmaster, I entertain, I handle the whole wedding from start to finish.
See, this is the quote. You compare, you perform, you sing, you DJ.
Sing, play trumpet, DJ, the whole lot. One-stop shop.
Back in the day, and I'm talking the 1980s here, before any of our six Midweek Drivettes were actually even conceived, let alone born, quick introductions, we have Emma Tinson, Claire Margerison, Emily Jones, Tessa Snart, Fiona Williams, and Mary Dancy, all eagerly listening into this and likely could contribute in a few moments. I remember the question that vexed me, Trevor. It vexed me when I used to play it as a boy broadcaster at the time. Why did you always pass the duchy from the left-hand side?
The reason what we used to do is that back in the day in like Jamaica or like countries like that, you'd have one village and you'd have a pot. Yeah. And people were so poor sometimes, they used to bring different foods, different meats, vegetables and all sorts of things to go in the pot. And the pot used to go around to the left-hand side in a circle and people would put different foods and stuff in the pot. And that's why we call it on the left-hand side.
Now, you see, there we have the band Musical Youth. I mean, what's not to love about these fine individuals doing their own thing? And it's just to say, you're the small one, Trevor.
Everybody takes me as the small one. Because when I actually perform, I actually do the small verse, the small Calvin's voice as well, And there was eight of us in the band as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was more a squad. To me, I felt that it vexes me to this day as well why Musical Youth did not become the British Jacksons. I honestly thought,
I was thinking that
was exactly what I was sort of, you know, this plus of course that other question which I know Trevor, you sort of think where we, Kelvin, did he ever come back with that apple pie?
There it is. Bring back the apple pie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, come back with the apple pie was the verb. How often in the streets of Dulwich were those words uttered, really? It was like the street version of our day. It was wonderful.
Yes, it was. I mean, to be honest, apple pie was one of my favourite dishes.
Yeah.
So, apple pie and custard. But no, I mean, the band in Jamaica and like the tropical islands were renowned as the Jackson 5 of reggae, basically.
It was phenomenal. Can you stay with us whilst we have a little pass the duchy moment? I mean, would you be kind enough to do that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are we okay for this? Because I'm just conscious that Emma, I believe your education is now almost beginning to be complete because you've never had this pass the duchy musical youth moment.
I have not.
No.
I feel like
no.
I'm about to experience something great.
Tessa.
I don't think I have. No.
It is awesome in mega awesomeness. Mary.
No, I'm sorry.
No, Claire.
No, I don't think so.
Emily?
No, I'm sorry.
Fiona, you know, many people have to wait years to have this piece of music.
Oh!
It is. It's wonderful. Stay with us, Trevor. We'll be back with you after Musical Youth and Pass the Duchy.
No problem.
This generation rules the nation with version. Music and some food of love.
Dutchie pan the left hand side. Pass the Dutchie pan the left hand side. It a go burn.
Give me the music, make me jump and fly.
It a go done.
Give me the music, make me
jump
and fly.
It was a cool and lonely, breezy afternoon.
How does it feel when you got no food?
And you could feel it cause it was the month of.
How does it feel when you got no food?
So I left my
gun. And so me say we are go here.
Chip on the left.
hand side.
I say,
pass the dutchie pon the left hand side. It a go bun.
Give me the music, make me jump, pam, pam.
It a go done.
Give me the music, make me jump.
On the left hand side.
Even have the ribbit in there. It's genius. 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 Down side. How does it feel when you got no food? I mean, take that, Bob Geldof. That's what I say. 3 years before Live Aid. How does it feel when you got no food? A round of applause, please, for Musically With Bob. And Trevor T, who's with us, reflect yours. Do you ever get asked to do a version of Pass the Dutchie when you're performing, Trevor?
Can you hear me? I could you're breaking up.
All right. Yeah, you're coming across nice and clearly. And the question was, do you ever get asked to do a reprise of Pass the Dutchie when you're in your current role of the ultimate entertainer?
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. Because the fact that because I play trumpet and sing and DJ as well, yeah. And so we do a reggae section as well. So I do that live. You see, so we do for John Holt's Musical Youth. I'm always asked to play the Musical Youth. Or was that the thing Musical Youth, rather, and Pass the Dutchie?
They were, I mean, insufferably catchy songs. I mean, you remembered it, of course, Claire, from parties that you've been to.
Yeah, like party CDs.
Yeah, party CDs.
Yeah.
Emma?
Yeah, I was saying it was like such a kind of thing that would be played at the school disco when we were little. So
that's right.
It's inevitable. And Tessa, you've already got a booking in for the CD.
Definitely.
Fiona?
I thought it was really upbeat. I really enjoyed it. Definitely.
Exactly. Just as well, we didn't actually feature that with Cameron Tilbury, otherwise it would have been no contest. No contest. And Emily.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good fun.
So are you, I mean, obviously we'll be looking to feature more of your fantastic oeuvre because there's, as I was saying, Trevor, I actually purchased both albums on vinyl. I think there were two albums.
All right, gosh.
And I feel as though another one of my ambitions on the bucket list has now been wrapped up. Not only do I now know why the Dutchie was passed from the left-hand side, but also the whole notion of coming back with the apple pie, which is very, very important. Listen,
the band has actually started back up again.
Yay!
I haven't joined them this time because I've got my own thing when I'm doing this Trevor T, which is from jazz, Louis Armstrong, to everything else.
But isn't that, Trevor, a bit like Take That, getting back together without Robbie Williams? You know,
yes.
I mean, let's face it, you know. Just raise that whole point.
Missing the star.
Well, exactly. No, it's not the same.
It wouldn't be the same. No, different brass section, different lineup. Yeah. It was good at the time. It was good at the time.
Oh, okay. You've got to move on, clearly. Now, TrevorT.com is the website that we're going to. Fiona, of course, jumped straight on the fact that, hang on, public events for 2014. What's happening in 2015, 2016?
Right. Well, because we had a hacker got hacked. So most of my information now is on my Facebook, which is Trevor T, the entertainer.
Excellent.
Trevor T Entertainment Service.
Critical, because you know, heaven only knows what sort of confusion that could. I mean, people would say they could only book you if they had a time machine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we're setting up with a film crew at the moment. Which are taking on our own film crew, which are now videoing us and filming us for our new like a Mardi Gras show. Louis Armstrong, Cab Calloway, Rat Pat, Motown, and Babbitts. That sort of thing.
And before I press this button, I just want to confirm we are on Facebook with Trevor T Entertainment Services Answered Entertainment.
That's it, Trevor Entertainment. Yeah,
then
Trevor
I have duly liked you. I have. The team have now liked you officially, as far as that's concerned.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
You.
And we can give you a shameless plug for Saturday, the 5th of March, 2016, 7 p.m. to midnight, a 1920s razzmatazz
night.
That's
the one. Wow. Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
You gotta come to that.
Exactly.
Yes, you would love it. So if you can make it, great. We'll make time for you, but it's a bit far away, but we can come in your area anytime.
Well,
it'll be lovely.
Fancy dress optional, I see, which is good for that sort of point of view. It's all good from there.
Yes.
And we've even got a video that's actually up there. Trevor, it's just, there are so many marvellous things actually there. I have to ask two final questions. Have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this evening? Has it been okay for you?
I've loved it. It's been great.
A round of applause for Trevor T, please.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. I'm glad you enjoyed it all.
So will you return to kind of reflect not only on your current career, but also perhaps unpicking some of those musical youth mysteries that kind of still percolate 40 years later?
Most likely. It'd be more the future stuff now.
Yes.
I still feature a bit of reggae and musical youth and our own reggae stuff as well.
We will look forward to featuring some of your material live on air in the very near future. Yes.
That'd be great.
We will go with
that.
Great
stuff. We are working on an album at the moment, so that'd be great.
And in fact, in your role as an MC, would you like to dedicate this next tune, nothing to do with musical youth, but it's David Bowie. It's to Katie Grimerson, who lives in Birmingham. She specifically asked me for this last night. Actually, 7 o'clock. Oh, it's all right. We are on the telephone. Don't worry. It's just a lot of that. But she said, could you play? I'm not going to do a Birmingham accent because I can't, basically. could you play David Bowie in Modern Love? And I know that she would be beside herself, wouldn't she, Emma? I mean, if you would introduce this for Katie Grimerson.
Right, who is this for, Katie?
Katie Grimerson in Birmingham.
Right.
Go, Trevor.
Right, Katie. This is dedicated to you, my dear. Katie Grimerson. All the way in Birmingham, dedicated to you, David Bowie, baby. Yes.
Phenomenal. Another round of applause.
Yay! Thank you.
Emma Timpson, Eva MacDonald and Jessica Ward have clearly marked out their skills as premier midweek drivettes. Time now for Claire Margerison, Mary Dancy and Tessa Snart to step up to the mark. AM in LA can only mean it's time for the Midweek Drive team to welcome their top Californian cultural correspondent, Phil Leonis, back for another segment of Cultural Perspicacity.
You know, Anna, we're getting closer and closer. It's only 18:33, so it's 10:33.
I didn't realise it was that time already.
Oh, yeah.
It was
very quick. That's what happens when you have Ed Fortune from Starburst, you have Cameron Tilbury, you have Annette Andre with The Sting, and of course, come back with the apple pie.
Yes.
Hey-ho. Phil Leonis, welcome to your part of your programme from your Chilpack Hollywood.
Well, thank you for all of that. Where do I begin? How about this? I was such a musical youth fan when I was a kid, and I actually genuinely appreciate you getting an explanation for why the Duchy had to be passed from the left-hand side.
Exactly.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Now, however, as your cultural correspondent from this side of the big pond, Anglophile though I may be, next time could you actually ask what a Duchy is? Because, we never knew. We never knew, but it didn't stop us from loving a Cracker Jack tune.
Well, we take the, you say Duchy, we say Dutchy, you know.
Oh, yeah,
I think it's a large bowl, Phil. A large bowl. But we'll get Trevor back on to talk about that.
This doesn't, saying it's a large bowl doesn't prevent this interpretation. We always believed it was a marijuana reference.
Oh. Hey.
You know, the reggae, now they were little kids, they were cool little kids, so you never knew.
This is exactly what
And I'm not advocating. I'm not advocating that kids should smoke marijuana.
I should hope not.
Drugs, unless they want to be successful musicians. But there you go. Thank you
Americans
for that. That was
so loose.
Yes. Is it any wonder you could have Trump in the White House this time next year?
Yeah, exactly. We're so liberal. We've got to build walls to keep conservatives out.
Exactly.
You know, it is at the point where one probably needs to stop saying it can't happen, or why is this happening, you know, and really look at, not just with Trump, but with Bernie Sanders, who politically could not be more unlike Trump in his views, but has very much the same enthusiastic appeal, especially among young people. And who, interestingly enough, Bernie Sanders, a self-described socialist, is the real question mark for many Trump supporters, because many Trump supporters would say that in a general election they might want to vote for Bernie Sanders. So a billionaire capitalist versus a socialist, and people are torn by their love of both of them. So what's that about? And what that's about is the fact that, believe it or not, both of these men, Trump included, offer authenticity, which is sorely lacking in American politics. People really feel that what they see is what they get, and even if what they're seeing is, reprehensible, it's refreshing that it's authentic. Both these men actually have integrity. Trump has integrity. Now, that's not to be confused with character. People interchange those words too much. Someone of very low character, I'm not mentioning names, Donald Trump, but someone of very low character can still have integrity, meaning that they live in authentic accordance with that low character. And these are the things that really appeal. And if pragmatic and perhaps even very successful and effective politicians wish to make headway, they need to start authentically representing what it is that they view for the future. How's that for an opening political salvo?
Fiona Williams, I'm coming straight away to you as a public relations guru that will be and still manifest. Right. Is it areas like Donald Trump that make you give thanks to your father for actually getting the whole family leaving America, leaving Missouri, and shipping over to Edinburgh?
Yes, definitely. I have many thanks for his English roots.
There we are. So the escape route is there, if you wish to obviously bear that in mind, although we could have Boris Johnson as well in a few years' time. So,
although let's point out, though, that in times of incredibly conservative governance in this country, it is also almost always a time of fantastic artistic achievement and expression. In times of liberal governance in this country, not nearly so much so. You think of the 1960s being this time of liberal and artistic expression, but in this country, not really. We were importing all our great artistic expression from the UK, whereas in the 1950s, when we were as conservative as could be, a time that Trump really wants to return us to, the times of Eisenhower, well, at that point, we're creating a little something called rock and roll. So it's, you take the good with the bad, and the bad is that all our lives will be miserable. But the good is that the music is going to be great.
Which is all we need. You know, it could almost have been rewriting the origins of modern Britain from that point of view. It's wonderful.
Well, of course music is all we need. I mean, I quote the great musical youth. When I say something along the lines of isn't music the food of love? Isn't that how the line goes at the beginning of the song? Something like that.
This generation ruled the nation with version is exactly what you were looking to actually quote, Phil, I think.
No, what I was looking to say was music happened to be the food of love. That's what they say right after that line. There you go.
Oh, right, there you are, exactly. You're quite right, of course, and we won't. We might actually just prove that. In fact, sort of return to the mystical machine, because let's face it, can you ever have enough musical youth? Pass the Duchy, let's just check those opening lyrics for the benefit of the completist.
This generation ruled with Russian.
Okay, so we got that.
There you go.
And there we
you
are.
You happened to be the food of love. There you were.
Yes,
excellent.
Exactly. You see,
hey,
such...
before we lose the topic of your musical selections today, somehow again, Alex, you're eavesdropping. You and your NSA technology. I've got to tape over, apparently, the camera on my tablet and my computer, because clearly you're eavesdropping on my production meetings with Dean Haglund for Chillback Hollywood Hour, because this week we're going to kind of mix things up on our annual Oscar Smackdown. Since we're not on the same shores, since we can't watch the show together, what we're going to do is we're going to pre-record a little thing because, you know, we don't like to deal strictly in the positive on our show. So we are going to give our nominations for the worst ever Oscar winners category by category. And The Entertainer, which you've been playing, of course, theme song, beloved theme song by Marvelous Marvin Hamlisch from The Sting. The Sting certainly has to be in the conversation of one of the worst Best Picture winners of all time. So it's amazing how you just read my mind. You unzip me in your Mike Dooley-esque fashion and reach into my very soul.
And that, Phil, is quite simply because we are all one.
Like Cylons. We are all Cylons.
We are all
one. Which reminds me, I have a message for you. I met with none other than director of We Are All Cylons, Ilana Rain.
Ilana!
And we met in at this lovely The Trails Cafe in Griffith Park. We both found out that it is exactly a 20-minute walk for each of us from where we live. So naturally, we both drove. And... We enjoyed coffee and good conversation, and she said, please, not only send Alex her warmest regards, but tell him, that would be you, Alex, that she looks forward to coming back on and telling you all about her trip to the observatory in Hawaii, on the Big Island of Hawaii.
And when you've got Hawaii and Hawaii 5-0, what's not to appreciate? Ilana Rain will be back on next year. I promise you, she'll be not next week, because next week's so much back in next week. You know, might even have the return of Katie Dorr.
Look, having delivered the message, don't mistake me for someone who cares whether you have her on or not. My work is done. But just as long as it doesn't cut into my time, everything's fine. Though I don't think... that it really had much to do with Hawaii 5-0. I'm just,
really?
But by
really?
All means, play her in with Lalo Schifrin's theme music.
Well, I mean, I think
that would be outstanding. Far be it from me to author your show for you, but as you're eavesdropping on my production meetings, I feel.
I think you'll find it was Morton Stevens rather than Lalo Schifrin who actually came up with the Hawaii 5-0 theme, Phil. I mean, I don't know. We're having a sort of tension. And,
right, but isn't the performer, isn't the artist? The artist is Lalo Schifrin, I believe. No?
Okay, well, could well be. We'll let it lie, okay? Because I could see...
Well, I mean, this brings up a great point, though. Who do you credit for the song? Do you credit the writer, or do you credit, you know, the composer, or do you credit the artist?
Personally,
I think historically, when it comes to music, we credit the artist, right?
Very true. The singer sings his song, and we dance along, as Neil Diamond said. Okay, then, that's enough references to... to classic, but Neil Diamond, don't worry, tomorrow morning, or just after midnight your time, the return of Jill Sennett on the show. Jill Sennett, a former midweek drivette, who actually had what can only be described as an epic jingle actually written for her. I don't know if you've... In fact, Jill Sennett was probably before your time, even, Phil, which is startling, but she was one of the early midweek drivettes when the show was just getting underway. Would you like to hear her jingle? Okay, then.
They say no news is good news. But that was before they met journalist Jill Sennett. Jill Sennett. She's the news kid in town. Jill Sennett. She's the hard-hitting, headline-hunting, fact-finding, roving-reporting, news-nutting media machine. But you can just call her Jill. Stop the press. It's Jill Sennett, reporting for duty.
Yeah. When we expected her 2 weeks ago, she had... challenges with our children. It's all right, don't worry.
Do you think you said Jill Sennett enough times?
it was a chap called David who's now a country musician. So.
I think that was like a record number of
We've eased it back a bit now. As you're well aware, and we use Phil. It's much more sophisticated in his approach.
Yeah.
Anyway, Phil, whom do you wish to go to? You've got six fine souls to select, and you can choose any one of them to find out how they've been finding this week's production.
Well, I need to begin with a mea culpa. Lalo Schifrin, nothing to do with Hawaii Five-O.
Nothing
at all.
That's okay.
As it turns out. So I apologize to you. I apologize to the Schifrin family, quite frankly.
Can we absolutely be apologizing to David Sowell? We'll keep on going. Don't worry. No, that's not going to happen.
Well, that will be, there is a... Wow, there would have to be a very special weather report for hell if you catch my meaning there.
I think so.
Okay, I just came from the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, and we had an exciting day. It's funny, I was going to actually bow out early. For some reason, I wanted to listen to this show more. So I was going to bow out early, skip the presentation this week, so that I could come home to listen to the full midweek drive. Then something happened. The presenter this week at the Los Angeles Breakfast Club called and canceled at the last minute, so there was no presenter. So I wanted to stay to see, because, you know, I'm drawn to train wrecks, I wanted to see how they filled the hour. And Lily Holloman came up on the spur of the moment with the idea that everyone should share really funny or inspiring brushes with greatness. These would be encounters with famous, with stars, with celebrities, either live and in person, or the ghosts, as it turned out in a couple of these cases, of these famous people. So I want to continue this conversation with the co-presenters and see if any of them have ever had an encounter they want to share that they would call a brush with greatness, a music star, an athlete, a politician, anything, anyone, especially one if it really meant something to them.
Emma.
And silence.
I met Peter Crouch in Waitrose once.
Nice.
That was, I actually walked past him and I was with my friend and we were like, that guy's quite tall. We turned back and we were like,
Abby Clancy with him?
Sorry?
Was Abby Clancy with him at the time?
No.
So he was alone?
He was alone shopping.
Peter Crouch is a footballer or soccer player, quite a tall soccer player, who plays for Stoke City, went to Liverpool, used to be famous for his robot dance that he did to celebrate his
goal. I know who Peter Crouch is. I am a footballer.
Sticking with football, I was born in the same hospital as David Beckham.
Wow.
Not at the same time, obviously, but...
I don't know. David's not that old, really.
He's so young.
Exactly.
And to this day, people often can't tell you apart. That's the interesting... I don't know. I got
Claire.
Well, those are good. Those are good. Okay.
It's not like a direct connection, but my granny and granddad used to work at Bradford University with Harold Wilson, former Prime Minister. So that's pretty cool. He used to try and distract them at the graduation ceremonies.
You've never had it so good. No, that was Harold Macmillan, actually. So Harold Wilson smoked a pipe and, of course, could have actually been assassinated by the CIA. So conspiracy theorists would actually sort of have us believe. They didn't want Britain going left, not left-wing. White heat of technology. That was his catchphrase.
But they did want to pass the duchy from the left-hand side.
Exactly! Exactly! Mary Dancy.
I think I was at a birthday or something, and we were sitting in Hyde Park, and I'm pretty sure I saw Madonna, like, run past, but with a couple of bodyguards, like, running with her. That was quite cool. She was probably about,
That's
like...
That's awesome!
I know, so she was just jogging through Hyde Park, and I'm like... Is that Madonna? I think it's Madonna. Oh my gosh, it's Madonna.
That's awesome. I mean, I love the fact that we didn't really get a clear view of Madonna, but we got a very good shot of her bodyguards.
Yeah, all the bodyguards run with her. So.
But that's how you would know. That is how you would know for sure. Okay, we're right. That was her because there's a Secret Service detachment.
She had all of her people. No one's allowed to approach her. She's running.
Yeah. I love that. Isn't it fun when some celebrities, and most don't, but some celebrities say, oh, it is so impossible to go out in public. It is so impossible. Well, yeah, if you're calling attention to yourself by having armed bodyguards following you around, I would imagine it's impossible to go without being spotted.
I've said to Emily time and time again, she has the riders on our contract, she has the bodyguards outside the studio. Emily, just let it go, just relax. Anyway, Emily, speaking of which...
I actually have quite a good one. Do you know who Charles Dance is in Game of Thrones?
Oh, yes. Of course.
Jazz
Dance.
Of
course, Charles Dance. Brilliant actor.
Jewel in the Crown.
He did a movie in the 80s. He did a movie in the 80s called Pascali's Island. Fantastic.
To look that up. Well, I actually went to Comic-Con in London with my dad, and we were getting him to sign the Game of Thrones box set, and we went up to him, and my dad just kind of goes to him, so, you know, before you shot Game of Thrones, did they make you read the book? And Charles Dance put his pen down, looked my dad directly in the eye and went, nobody makes me do anything. And it was just,
it was
amazing.
Great.
It's beautiful.
Great.
Yeah.
Splendid. And that just shows... In fact, we must do another Comic-Con shortly. We'll do that sort of...
I love Comic-Con. It's great fun.
Fiona?
Well, first one I can think of off the top of my head was when I was a lot younger. Back in the States, I was chosen by the Girl Scouts to meet Fergie, the Duchess of York. And so I gave her flowers and had a nice chat with her at a conference. And that was when I was about 7 or 8. So,
okay. was she nice to you? Good.
Do you have a photo of that? Do you have a photo of yourself as a girl?
There might be something somewhere, but with me, no.
Well, I don't mean on you. Yeah, I don't mean hold it up to the webcam.
Photos
that's,
on
it's
radio.
Deactivated anyway. Yeah. Well, that's a great one.
Yep. Which brings us around, of course, to somebody who's just so famous because she's born and bred in Peterborough.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, exactly. Tessa Leanne Smart Snart.
Well, I have a couple, but the first one is Warwick Davis. I've shook hands with him. He came and...
Was he tall enough? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Warwick.
You leaned down. He leaned down.
I really love... Yeah, he was lovely.
He is very good. I mean, he was in Willow, of course. He's
I was just
going to
say.
Stars.
Yeah.
He's
lovely. Harry
Potter. We've done a couple of features. He's an honorary midweek driver. He's done 2 interviews, so he's second interview. Yeah. That's really cool on the show.
No, he's a very gifted actor. You know, I mean, you think about... the career that Peter Dinklage has, rightly so, because he's a great actor. People do not think of Peter Dinklage as a great little person actor. They think of him as a great actor. And I feel like if Warwick Davis was in his prime today, that's how people would think of him. But, you know, you needed people like Warwick Davis to kind of... I was going to say bust that glass ceiling, but of course he was getting nowhere near the ceiling. And it's jokes like that that prevented him from having the career that he deserved.
Exactly. Still, we appreciated the comedy timing as ever, though. But you said two.
I think it was Norfolk. I went to a CD signing with my mum, The Drifters, but there was, I think, one original, and then it was The Nephews. So, yeah.
The Drifters.
Yeah.
The Drifters.
The Drifters, yeah.
As in, at the club, there
you're
goes my baby, under the boardwalk,
yeah.
and as in Saturday night at the movies,
yeah.
The Drifters.
That's
you
them.
Know.
Yeah.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
But that's all the time we have for The Drifters. We'll squeeze them again, but yes, they're very good. The Drifters. Well done. Well, there we are. Who would have thought on the art of the long con, which is one of the themes we actually had, which obviously Annette alluded to in terms of...
Well, wait a second. You know, I'll open this up to your co-presenters to choose, but we've got a little bit of time left. Do we want to hear Alex's favorite brush with greatness, or do we want to hear my most embarrassing brushes with greatness?
Well, Alex probably met hundreds.
Yeah.
Embarrassing sounds better.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Mary. There we are. Go for it.
All right, this is lightning round because it's hard to choose between them. First, one that was really ended up being embarrassing and awkward. I was at a bar, Cornet Pub, here in Los Angeles. I thought I recognized Ray Davies of the Kinks. This is a big deal. I work with movie stars, but Ray Davies of the Kinks is a big deal to me. But I can't be sure, because why the heck would Ray Davies, maybe he was here in town on a concert, but why would he just be wandering around alone in a pub here? So I say to my friend, I was with two friends, one my age, one a little younger. I said, I think that's Ray Davies. And we're going, do you think? Why would he be here? We're debating whether or not this guy standing near us is Ray Davies. And finally, our young friend shouts out, hey, Ray, Ray Davies. And Ray Davies comes over to our table and goes, hey, yeah, guys, how are you? That's a terrible Ray Davies impression, by the way. I don't do that at home. But and then as soon as we verified that it was Ray Davies, our young friend turns to me and says, now, will you please tell me who the heck Ray Davies is? And poor Ray Davies, his face just fell. And
It could have been Waterloo Sunset. Good news from Cameron Tilbury. Brianna Tyson's set for next week at 5:30.
Cameron's on it.
Goes to show. Tragically, of course, unless Phil leaves the Los Angeles Breakfast Club early, he won't have the joy of hearing Lone Songstress. Unless, of course, he uses the podcast. What was your next story, Phil?
Unless we do a simulcast into the Breakfast Club.
Exactly. We have the technology. We will run with that. Next one, Phil. Did you say you had two?
Oh, okay. I got another one for you. Sure. There was a TV show, you may not have heard of it on those shores, called Friends. And there was a character named Joey who was played by Matt LeBlanc. Okay, Matt LeBlanc is the actor. And there was a brief flirtation with Matt LeBlanc, because it was the number one TV show, becoming a movie star. And as every actor has to do when they're trying to prove themselves, he had to do a movie where he co-starred with a monkey. And his movie, I forget the name, but it was a baseball-playing monkey he had to co-star with. And I found myself and my friends, again, all my stories involve me being drunk. But I was at a bar, and he was sitting next to me, and I was really way too drunk. And I said, you're Matt LeBlanc. And he goes, yeah, and he seemed like a very nice guy. And I said, you're in that movie with the monkey. I was like really excited about it. And he said, yes, I am. And I said, I got to tell you, that monkey is a great actor.
Genius.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't realize, I didn't realize that I'd apparently insulted him. But, you know, I was impressed by what they do with the animals and anyway. So that, there's no recovery.
And that's why he's now working with Chris Evans, our very own ginger monkey on Top Gear. And it all goes round together. Fantastic. Sorry, Chris, we know we appreciate that.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, that shows you how his career's gone downhill. But anyway, okay, there you go.
The monkey, on the other hand. Emily, number between 2 and 26, please.
3.
Nice choice. Very nice choice, actually.
The thing that most forget while dreamily looking off into the horizon for the ship of their dreams is that such ships never sail in, but are actually built beneath their very feet. Oh, we owe the universe.
Which is more a kind of Lex number. Phil Linus, Fiona's going to ask you those last two questions.
Yep, okay. Mm-hmm. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I thought if we could all stay on the line after the show ends, we could swap ghost stories next.
That sounds good. Exciting. Maybe next week.
Exactly. See, already we have Naomi Costley, who's ready and set to go. She gets into the studio, unless she's waiting outside.
All right, second question. Give me the second question.
Mm-hmm. Great. And will you be able to join us next week?
Oh, okay. You've talked me into this.
That's why she's doing public relations, the art of the nudge. You know, it's all important from that sort of point of view. Extreme nudge theory. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury.
Her voice is great for public relations. I mean, can you imagine, like, her voice would diffuse any angry, like, celebrity or anybody who's throwing a tantrum. It's like,
this guy just insulted my monkey.
Her voice, I mean, it would be like if you extended your anger towards her, it would be like clubbing a baby seal.
Exactly.
No, it's not.
Do you know, this is week 6, public relations. I dared to actually say that Americans possibly might have been culturally challenged. I didn't mean it seriously. Oh, oh, the guilt factor. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that's it. Up next, we have Naomi Costley. Thanks to Tessa Snart, Emma Tinson, Claire Margerison, Emily Jones, Fiona Williams, Mary Dancy, and we've already thanked Cameron Tilbury, Ed Fortune, Annette Andre, Trevor T, and Phil Linus. Thank you, dear listener. That's it. We're pretty much out of here. Can we say goodbye?
Bye.
Goodbye. Don't you tell me that you just